Let it be known that this disclaimer is intended to make it clear any views and or opinions expressed on the Fox Paranormal Chat are just that. Any topics of discussion during a broadcasted show is in no way the exclusive view nor opinion of the host or any web radio network staff. You're listening to the Fox Paranormal Chat on the Web Radio Network. And now, Michael and Destiny Fox.
Everybody, this is Destiny Fox.
This is Michael.
We are from Fox Family Paranormal. You can find us on Facebook at Fox Paranormal. I also run a group called the Paranormal Fox.
Oh, yeah.
Also, we have a group, Fox Paranormal Advertising, where teams are allowed to post their live streams, podcasts, or just advertise your group. We welcome anybody to do that. We're excited about tonight's podcast.
This is
our third one. We're so used to being the people interviewed that it's a little bit different interviewing somebody else, but we're getting used to it.
Yeah. It's getting smoother and smoother. Like you said, you know, we've always been the guests on other shows, and now we're doing our own, podcast, and it's been very interesting little ride.
It has. I've enjoyed it. Our guest tonight is international psychic medium and paranormal investigator John Covey. Welcome to the show, John.
Thank you very much for having me. I'm super excited to be able to chat with you guys on your own podcast. This is super cool.
I know, and we're having a good time, too. We've enjoyed doing this. We had Jeremy as our first guest, and then we couldn't have Jeremy without having Tammy. We had Tammy on last week, and now another part of the family, John Covey. I mean, I feel like we're all family. We really are.
I think at this point, we truly are. You know,
yes.
The demonology family. Yeah. So you're 22 years old?
Yes, I am.
And a lot of accomplishments at just 22. My favorite psychic. We have a lot of confidence in you. You've actually given me readings before on your live stream. You do a little love and light kind of live stream here and there. And sometimes I'll jump on, give me a reading, give me a card, pull me a card. Not often, but I get to jump on sometimes. Michael's the one that jumps on, and all the psychics run out of time before they get to him when he gets on.
Yeah.
That's your luck, huh?
Yeah, that's what usually happens.
But I don't know. He got a good reading from you one time. His family kept coming in on my reading, and so you guys had a good chat with my reading. So,
you know, and that's something that's really funny, you know, to kind of, you know, jump right in is, you know, one thing that's really important to understand, you know, when you do a reading, whether it's, you know, in public or, you know, you book a private reading, you know, a lot of times you'll be surprised who comes through. And, you know, you might book a reading, but your loved one who is there with you might also get a reading in some way, shape or form. So it's just interesting. But nonetheless, right. It's just pure love that goes through.
Right. Since you're reading, and it seems like I think your brother came through, maybe your dad, I can't remember. But actually, Michael's dad has, you know, I have felt his presence around a lot. I was in the kitchen one day. One of our team members, Michelle, was here. And all of a sudden, I just heard Michael said something kind of sarcastic. And then I heard this male's voice in my ear say, que sera, sera. And I was like, Michael, did your daddy ever say que sera, sera? Yeah, he did, like all the time. And I'm like, wow. So he, you know, he's actually been around him more. I guess he always had, but we're beginning to realize that his family's staying close to him.
Yeah, and it's super cool to be able to experience these gifts and getting these knowings, these hearings, all of these different ways on how we gather the information. It's so cool. And then you think, oh my gosh, am I going crazy? I'm hearing, you know, a phrase that you don't normally hear. And it's just like, oh my gosh, what's going on? I'm hearing voices. Is this the onset of like schizophrenia? Or is this just, you know, someone coming through, you know? It happens all the time.
I'm just now starting to recognize my gift, you know, kind of something just put behind me all the time and never paid much attention to. But I'm beginning to realize what I have and using it a little bit more. One thing that it says in your profile that you sent me, your little bio, you specialize in Sharka healing. I'm interested in Sharka. That's something. All I know about it right now is just colored dots going up a little drawing's chest right now.
Yeah, I mean,
but tell me a bit about that.
So every person, just as we have our physical body here, we also have what's called our spiritual body, or, you know, scientifically, not to get on all the terms, but it's called the etheric body. So your etheric body is about 7 to 8 layers actually above your physical body. So if you ever hear people talk about your aura or anything like that, that's kind of what they're seeing. So what happens is that when we are working with our aura or within our chakra system, chakras simply are just energy centers within our body. So everybody, of course, thinks about the 7 main chakras, but there are so many other chakras within our etheric bodies. You know, you have palm chakras, you have different chakras. I always joke around and say, you know, like there's a few chakras above your head. So if you're familiar with the Sims game, it's, you know, you have that little dot above your head. But, you know, there are so many different ways on how these energies really work. So, but, you know, the 7 main ones, of course, you know, you have the base, the sacral, the solar plexus, the heart, the throat, the third eye, and the crown. Those are the 7 main ones. Now, I'm sure there are so many really fantastic teachers out there that go in depth with on how to work with chakras, how to heal other people's chakras, and to, you know, use Reiki in order to, you know, go through and, you know, truly figure out what may be going on if something may feel off. So it's just super important to pay attention to that, because as Jeremy taught in his demonology class, everything that's done in the spiritual realm is also done in the spiritual, and vice versa, physical realm, and then done in the spiritual.
Yes.
And vice versa.
Exactly. Actually, my sister, a few years ago, a friend of mine had just gotten, she became a Reiki master, and we took her to her. And my sister told me that during that time that she started feeling better, less pain. So I do have confidence in stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And a background in demonology. I mean, you're 22 years old. Michael and I went to school with you.
You know, it's super cool. And this is something that I feel is very important to know. So, you know, as investigators of the paranormal, we've all been investigating, all 3 of us here. We've been investigating for, you know, at least I've only been investigating for about 12 years. So there's an extensive period of time, and I always encourage everyone to continue learning, whether it is within the metaphysics, whether it is with technology and, you know, shaping what you use on investigations as tools. One key important thing you have to realize is as you handle residential cases and such, you have to pay attention to demonology and understanding, is this potentially a demonic energy? Or is this just a malevolent spirit? Or is this just, you know, something that's physically going wrong with the client? You know, there are so many things to do. But, you know, don't ever be discouraged. You know, it's super cool to, you know, do the class with you guys.
Yeah, it was nice
to see everyone's growth.
And it seems like everyone that was in that class has bond. I mean, it's like that we're just all bonded, you know. I can see somebody else post something on Facebook and it's just like, wow, you know, there's a connection with all of us, a deep connection. We got to meet you a couple of months ago in person at a Paracon. That was awesome. We enjoyed meeting. My son enjoyed meeting you. He's just now getting into paranormal. He's a gifted young man himself. So, you know, I'm hoping maybe you could work with him a little bit, and Jeremy's working with him on the demonology. And so we're just trying to, he's going to be coming into the paranormal field a little bit different. He's getting all of his training before he goes in. Well, I mean, I know it's totally different, you know, but this is how it's worked out. And there's a reason that it's happening that way. It's not that we've planned it this way. It's just happening that way. And we're looking forward to getting him in 100% with the team. Also, I watched a documentary today that you did. I had seen clips of it before, but I watched it in its entirety today, and you helped Jeremy Leonard of Ghost of Morgan City with a case in Morgan City.
Yes.
And he'll be proud I didn't say Morgantown.
It's okay. I've heard, honestly, I love the show. So, you know, anybody out there, definitely go and check out Ghost of Morgan City. It's always on the Travel Channel. Or if you don't have, you know, if it's not on there, you can always watch it on Discovery Plus. But no, I mean, Ghosts of Morgan City was a really cool show. And what was interesting is that it was real.
Yeah.
And not only did you see the, you know, the paranormal side of what all was going on, but you got to meet the lifestyle and the culture of what it's like down in Louisiana. I mean, I'm all the way up here in Pennsylvania, so it's completely different. But it was, I know, it's just so different, but it's so cool. And even working with Jeremy on that case and, you know, trying to figure out exactly what all was going on, and, you know, figuring out that, you know, I was picking up on the missing persons case. It's been down there for a very long time that I didn't know about until he told me, I think, after the show. It was just super cool to, you know, be able to try to gather information on, you know, all of what was going on. So it's just cool.
Yeah. It was. I remember you said something about running water, and then I think they're right there at the river, and I was like, yeah, he nailed it. You nailed it.
There's such a spiritual side to Louisiana, though.
Yeah, oh, absolutely.
We've been to Louisiana, what, three times, four times now, and I'm anxious to go back.
I'm so jealous. I've never been physically down there. You know, I have astral projected, which is oddly different. It's a complete whole other ball game, but you know, it is a dream to go down there, and I know that Jeremy and Tammy have both really been wanting to try to get my mother and I down there.
Oh, you should. You need to go. Now.
Yes.
You have to come right through where we live to get there, so.
There you go.
Okay. It says you're also certified in level 1 and 2. I don't know if I'm saying this right. Kundalini?
Very close. Very close. Okay. Kundalini.
Okay.
Kundalini.
With a C. And you were taught this under psychic medium Sarah Lemos. Everybody knows who she is. Ghost Town Terror. Portals to Hell. She's just everywhere anymore. You turn on the TV, there she is. I am actually on one of her Facebook groups, and I listen to her lives. I haven't been able to take any of her classes yet, but that is going to happen. But I listened to her, and one day she was on, and she had some very uplifting words to say, and I was like, oh, goodness, I needed this. I really needed this.
She's a true sweetheart, and, you know, it's actually funny. So not only did I take her Kundalini Reiki course, but I also took her Pathways to Spirit course, which that was in 2020 when all this chaos was going in the world. She launched this online course to connect to a lot of people, to connect with at least 100 students all across actually the world at that point. There were a couple students, I think one was in Australia and one was in Germany. but all across the United States, especially. And that class, we covered so many topics, but a lot of things that I didn't fully know until then on how to really fine tune my gifts myself and to really use that to my, you know, to help out my clients and to help out on, you know, different cases and such. So I always recommend it to everybody. If you're curious about wanting to expand your gifts, whether it is you're a psychic or you're a medium or both or what have you, you know, it's just cool to at least have the knowledge because, you know, as we always say, knowledge is power.
Absolutely.
Yes, it is.
You also co-founded a junior investigating team. We actually had one at one time ourselves, and all the kids grew up, but they're still pretty much into the paranormal today, not working with us, but they're still into the paranormal. Also, Stan Fikes, our producer, their team also has a junior investigating. Is that still active?
So, unfortunately, not right now. The team that we had, we started it in 2010. And now, remind you, I'm 22 right now.
Mm-hmm.
When I started in 2010, I was 10 years old, guys.
Oh, yeah.
So, it was just super cool because a lot of the teammates that I had were, of course, friends that I had in school. But it was just really nice to gather individuals who were not just in it for the thrill factor. They were in it for the same reason that I was. Now, of course, you know, because we're minors, of course, you know, our parents were involved. We have to put that out there, but you know, it was just super cool because it wasn't a common thing. There, of course, was a paranormal camp that's actually run by Jody Nettles up here in Pennsylvania, the SOS Paranormal Camp. And they usually hosted that every year, but our team was one of the very first teams that reached national news in the paranormal field. So it was just super cool to, you know, have that team aspect and to investigate all over the state to have our own. It didn't, you know, work out too much, but we had a couple episodes of a small little YouTube series called Hauntings Unknown. And, you know, it was just, it was fun. You know, you gain a lot of knowledge. And back then I didn't use my gifts. This is a little tidbit of info. I was gifted. I've been gifted my entire life with, you know, receiving information and seeing spirits and, you know, gathering all of what is coming through. But it wasn't until about when I was 16, I really understood, oh my gosh, this is why I'm seeing this. I need to trust this information that I'm getting. So it's fun.
Awesome. There is a lot of controversy concerning children and the paranormal out in the paranormal world. We started out with our junior team because we were going into homes and doing investigations. Children lived in these homes. They didn't understand what was going on, but right. Yet they knew paranormal was real. So some of these kids, you know, we started the little junior team and we took them on investigations with their parents, or we had one parent that would drop her son off and say, "Hey, Destiny, take care of him. I trust you, little Ben."
Yeah.
Ben's not so little anymore, but this kid would come to an investigation with more paranormal equipment than we had. I kid you not. He was stocked up, and yeah. I miss him too. We're still good friends with the family. I could see us mentoring children in the paranormal again. I would like to do something like that. And don't you have a Paracon coming up, a paranormal convention, a charity event?
Yes. Yeah, so we also do host, both my mother and I, we host the Central Paranormal Convention, of course, up here in Pennsylvania. And traditionally, and every year that we have had it, it's always been held at the Pajama Factory, which I'm sure if Jeremy has ever talked about that place with you guys, that place is insane. Now, since the pandemic, they have done a lot of renovations because they're actually turning the building The interior, it's still the same building, still everything. It's all still original. They're basically repurposing the building to create small business sort of, you know, studio spaces to where it brings in more artisan groups. It brings in more entrepreneurs into the Williamsport area. And so that's what their mission is. But oh my gosh, guys, this place is massive. I think altogether it's 11 connected buildings. And it is, there's so much energy there, guys. I can't even describe the energy when you walk into, even into the courtyard. It's just remarkable. But yes, it is a charity event. We host it usually annually, but since the pandemic, we haven't had the event yet. But it's a nice, really cool, smaller Paracon to where we bring together like-minded individuals, you know, paranormal celebrities, psychic mediums, vendors, and so on, to, you know, guest speak, to show their lectures. We actually had a film that was shown the 1 year. And, you know, of course, everybody loves the Friday night party. So the last time we had it as a theme of American Horror Story Masquerade. Coven Masquerade. So you tied in the witches of season 3 into a masquerade sort of effect. So it was, I think that was everybody's favorite part of the convention. But it's nice because we strive as a charity event, yeah.
And now we were also met your mom a couple of months ago, Debbie. She's an awesome lady. And your gifts were passed down from her, it sounds like.
Yep. So both my mother and I, it's funny. When you work with psychic gifts, you have 4 main clairs. So when people are thinking clairs, like, what are you talking about? So clairs are basically, when you hear people talk about clairvoyance, you know, clairvoyancy, that's, of course, with sight. That's what a lot of psychics use to gather, you know, information through signs, symbols, and omens. Or a medium will use clairvoyancy in order to see spirits on the other side. But there are other clairs. Of course, you have the empathic ability, so clairsentience is what that's called. Mm-hmm. Then you have clairaudience, which of course is hearing. And you have claircognizance, which is knowing. So just knowing, like, for example, I know that person's going to call the house. And then you get that call from that person. Yeah, and you didn't know for sure exactly, but it's just like, oh, that person's gonna call, and then they call. She actually is the opposite of myself, so I am clairvoyant and clairsentient, so seeing and feeling, where she is primarily clairaudient and claircognizant, so the hearing and the knowing ability. So the gifts that we both have are hereditary. I believe she says that she got it from her grandmother's side of the family. I do feel as though it is tied to her father's side. As you know, we do, of course, have roots with Ireland. And of course, we know Ireland is very, very eclectic.
Oh, yes.
Spirituality. So, yeah, no, it's, we like to bounce each other's energy off of one another when we handle cases and investigations, because, you know, she might get something versus myself. She connects better with gathering information from locations, where I work better connecting with the client. And we kind of merge those together to really kind of see what's going on.
Wow. And I bet you two work good together. I can tell y'all have a close bond.
Yes. Yes. Not only, you know, do we work on stuff together, but we truly care deeply. And of course, you know, as family members, you know, you have that there, but I feel as though we were both brought together on this earthly plane to do good, to help out other people. And I feel like everything happens for a reason in this aspect. You know, she has the opposite gifts that I, you know, don't have so much so of, and you know, it works out in mysterious ways.
Awesome.
Do you remember your first experience as a psychic, you know, when you first got a message from the other side?
So now I have experienced seeing spirits my entire life, really. My first experience that I had, you know, that started my paranormal journey, actually, was when I was 8 years old. In my former home that I grew up in, there, I was, you know, I've told this story to somebody else. And they actually didn't believe me. And I'm like, I can't explain this. Yeah. It's middle of the night. And so I had to use the restroom. I was 8 years old and my brother and I shared a bedroom. And so, you know, of course, and it was, I believe, around 2 to 3 a.m. in between there. And so, of course, everybody's sleeping. I'm trying not to make a lot of noise. I make the slightest bit of noise and the bathroom door slams shut. I'm like, oh, okay. So being 8 years old and not knowing what's going on, of course, you know, I'm glad I went to the bathroom, because if not, probably some other things would have happened because the door scared me so bad. And so I finished, you know, of course, doing that and went back to my bedroom. And as I'm climbing up the bunk bed to get into my bed, from my doorway to my bedroom, I heard clear as day a little girl's giggle. Very loud. I don't have a younger sister. There were no TVs on, nothing. And I remember like hyperventilating, like what the heck was that? You know, she came running in, like what's going on, like what's wrong, and I couldn't even explain it, and so on. That was probably my first experience that I had in the home that really drew me to wanting to learn more. But as far as giving messages to people, I remember when I was around 12 years old, I was out at a restaurant, and I don't remember who I was with at this restaurant because it wasn't a typical restaurant that I go to. And so we're sitting there and I keep seeing this man, and I don't know who he is. And I'm thinking, oh my gosh, like what's going on? Am I crazy? So on and so forth. And long story short, this man was tied to the elderly woman that was sitting right behind me in the booth right behind me. Huh. And so I walked over to her and I said, you know, again, being 12, I was, you know, timid, because, you know, not everybody in this area especially accepts this sort of work. But I asked her, I'm like, did you just lose your husband? And she said, yes. And I said, I just want you to know that he's okay. That he is okay. He can breathe now, and that you did everything that you could in order to make sure that he was comfortable, and he wants to thank you for that. And one of the first agreements that I've ever learned from spirit is wearing a sweater or having a blanket around me. That is my agreement to know that they are comfortable and happy on the other side. Huh. And so when I said that, she burst into tears, and I'm like, you know, being 12, I'm like, oh my God, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to make you cry. And it was almost like an out of body experience. And it's an experience I don't talk about often because, you know, it's very personal. You know, as a medium, you really don't talk about other, you know, readings that you've had because it's very personal and sacred information. Now, also too, now that I do a lot more private readings and connecting with people at events and so on, I have made it an agreement with my guides that I don't want to remember the information. After the reading, I don't want to remember that information simply because I feel as though it would be a dishonest sort of way or dishonor, because that information is not for me to carry, but for the client to carry. And so whenever I do a reading, I always tell everybody, this information is for you and for you only. If you have questions about how I gather the information or anything like that after, you know, if you, by all means, have at it. But I tell everybody, I'm like, 2 months from now, don't say, hey, you were connecting with this. I have a question about what he said, and I'm not going to remember it. I'm not going to remember it. But
I have to ask this. So when you get a message from the other side, you've told your clients you don't want to, you know, you're not going to remember, you've asked your guides not to let you remember, but do you feel their energy? I mean, bad energy, sad energy? Do you feel their energy when they come forth?
Yes. So typically what happens is one of my rules is I must see them first. Mm-hmm. So as you know, the clairvoyant, as a seer, And because there are so many things out there in this universal plane, multi-universe sort of plane, there can be bad things that can come through, of course, during readings. And so one of my agreements and one of my rules is that I must see whoever it is that's walking through. Okay. Now, once I go through, I have an array of questions I like to ask when I do experience somebody. Who are they? Are they related to anyone that I'm around, and or are they related to the client, and how are they? And then I always ask, how did they pass away? And oftentimes that's what they'll make me feel, is their physical passing. But sometimes when it comes through with that, I will feel their emotions. I will feel what they were feeling at the time of their departure, or I will also feel what they are feeling on in the afterlife.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times when it comes through, I try to hold back a lot of the information, my own personal information, meaning my own feelings. So I try not to let that energy overcome me, because if I do that, I'm going to lose focus of the message that's trying to come through. But I do feel it.
Right.
So if there is a person, a perfect example that I got the okay to share the story with is the woman that I had connected with during this private reading, her husband came through, but he didn't show himself to me. And I asked my guides, I said, I need to see him. If I can't see him, I don't want to connect. They told me to continue. And I'm like, but I can't. And I remember my guy just saying, just do it. That was loud, almost angelic voice, which angels are, when they come through, are completely different. And so I'm connecting with this male. Again, I'm not seeing him. I'm only feeling and hearing him. And the biggest feeling that I get, you know, when you feel like something is wrong and you feel like your stomach just drops.
Yeah.
Yes.
And you feel sick. You feel like, just like, oh my gosh, the worst news in the world happened. That's what that felt like. And I even told the woman, I said, I'm having a very difficult time because he is afraid, honestly, to come through for you. And he is so scared and anxious. But I said, in life, he was an asshole, if I may say that. He was not kind. But I said, he is anxious and scared because he feels so sorry for what he did, but he knows that this apology won't be accepted. There's a lot more information with that, but needless to say, I do feel what they do feel like on the other side, whether it's happiness or whether it's, you know, that sort of scenario.
Yeah.
So it can be overwhelming, but you know, it's interesting because honestly, I am still to this day not 100% sure on how it is able to happen. But I feel like, you know, it's one of God-given gift to be able to experience that, to get a full understanding of the scenario and a full understanding of what the message is being told.
Okay. And for people listening, we have a chat room. And if you've got a question for John, we'll be glad to pass it along to him. And John, the reason I ask you a question just a minute ago, I actually, the first time that I ever gave anybody a message, and it's not something that comes to me at will. It's just like, I can't sit down with a client and say, okay, here we go. Let me tell you, I can't do that.
Right.
I don't know how. Mine just comes just occasionally. But we were in Union Springs, Alabama. We were investigating Pauley Jail with some paranormal investigator friends. And we go in AutoZone because I needed a flashlight. And so we go in there, and then there's a gentleman at the counter. And he told me, you know, hey, that one's a little bit less, but it's brighter. It's LED lights. I think you'd like that one better. And I said, hey, that's awesome. And then I look back up at him. And it's like these words just came out of my mouth. And then I'm like, where did that come from? I told him, I said, your grandmother said to tell you she loves you and she knows you miss her, but everything's okay. His grandmother had just passed away 2 weeks ago. I didn't know. I didn't never seen this man before. And then he was like, no, 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 wait. He said, are you a psychic? And I said, no. I said, I don't know why I said that. And I said, I'm sorry. There were people behind me in line. But he asked another question. And before I knew it, the words just came out. And I was telling him things that she said that she wanted him to know. The biggest thing was he had thought that his grandmother didn't like him because of some trouble that he had gotten in before. And he was out doing something he shouldn't have been the night she passed away instead of being with her at her bedside. And he thought she was mad at him. She said, is she mad at me? And I said, no, she loves you. You know, and then I'm like, I've got to go. I've really got to go because I had never done that before. Never, ever done that before. And I've only done it a couple of times since then. And but another question I have for you is, after some of your readings, do you feel the need to kind of do a cleansing around you? Or
absolutely. I there is actually, I call it, it was actually a method that Sarah taught in her class. So again, I will reference a lot of the information there. So there are different metaphysical tools that you can use in order to help wash away or cut any ties with any sort of residual energy from a spirit in a reading or on a case or so on. Personally, I have a whole grounding method. Sorry about the dogs in the background.
Oh, that's
I have a very grounding method in order to help cleanse and remove the energy from my chakra system. But then I also do use different tools like selenite. Selenite has a very good tool for removing energies. You know, whether your intention is to leave the good or remove all energies, that is what is there. And or, you know, of course, we talk about smudging. So you can use white sage. I prefer to use Palo Santo wood. Palo Santo wood actually removes all energies. So basically creates a neutral space for you. And then what you can do is I follow through with rose water to set the intention of only allowing, you know, that love and light energy, only happy energy, only, you know, all you can bring towards you. Cause you know, life's not all sunshines, peaches and rainbows, no. But you know, it is what you make of it. And your intention is what is most important. But yes, after a reading and especially after helping with a case or an investigation, I do always suggest to cleanse yourself no matter what.
Absolutely. Matter of fact, we've had people ask us, what do you guys do? What do you carry for protection during an investigation? How do you cleanse yourself afterwards? Well, we use a lot of prayer. There has been times, and I'll be honest with you, we had that one case one time, and I think it was just the interview with the client. We went out and met with a client, and things were so negative there that we came home. I remember calling Daddy, and I said, Daddy, this is what I need you to do. I need you to put Michael a t-shirt outside under the front porch, and I need him some shorts, and I need you to throw me one of my nighties down. He said, why? And I said, because we're not coming in the house until we hose off with water, and that's the best I could do. You know, I really felt like anything that we took back into our home was going to open something up, and I've never felt that before and never done that again. I promise you, we live in a subdivision. And so here we are showering with a water hose, butt naked. Just, I had to have that cleansing feeling, you know, and I didn't care if anybody seen, which it was dark. I'm sure nobody did, but I felt like, okay, we've got to get this off us. I just feel like it's all on us. You know, it was just a bad feeling.
It's almost like you would be walking through mud. In a way. So, and I know everybody has experienced this where, let's say, you walk into a room and two people had an argument, and you walk in and you feel the tension in the air. You feel that rigidness. If it is so long and so stagnant, it can feel like you're walking and waiting through thick mud. And so, you guys did a very cool thing. that not a lot of people do. But hey, you have to do what you have to do in order to keep it.
You know, it was the best I could come up with, but I knew I couldn't take that energy into our home. And for years and years, that was my son Dylan's biggest gripe about us being in the paranormal. He was like, "Mama, you're bringing stuff home all the time. You're just bringing stuff home. You're keeping the house dirty, you know." And I thought about that, you know, every time we would come back, and I'm like, God, Dylan must be picking up on this energy and stuff. You know, we can deal with it, but, you know, 12-year-old kid, 13, 14, you know, never been in, I mean, he's had paranormal experiences, but, I mean, this was just a step deeper, you know, that we had dove into, and he just could feel the energy that we were bringing home. And it took me a while to realize, okay, we got to do a house cleansing here every once in a while. You know, we've got to do this and that. And, you know, mostly it was for him and his benefit. But he's beginning to understand more and more now. I know I talk about my son all the time, but I love my baby boy. And I know he's probably, if he's listening, he's got his head shaking his head, but it's okay. But he's had paranormal experiences. He grew up in our home, here in the country. And I mean, we had paranormal experiences. Something was going on. We've found out, we think, what's causing it from all those years. We found a Confederate cemetery back behind our house.
Oh, wow. Old
graves there. So we think there's a connection, and, we think that's why. You know, based on some things we've heard and seen, we think that's it. But he's gifted, and you know, he's really learning. And I'm excited for this next chapter with him, with the team. I bet your mom was happy to have you assist her as well.
Yeah, she never really dove deep within the paranormal until I came along, because she always had a fascination and an idea of what it was like on the other side, but she never really dove deeper into wanting to investigate it until I was like, hey, I'm 10-year-old me. Hey, I want to go ghost hunting. And I'm like, nowadays I'm like, oh dear Lord, I hate that phrase. If I'm going to do anything, it's an investigation, because you're looking at it from all angles. I'm not bringing home a trophy prize, you know?
Right.
But it's cool, and it's nice to hear that, especially, you know, coming from, you know, your parents, coming from your mom, to understand that they're excited to see where you are going, because they see your potential. And you know, even for kids nowadays, there have been so many kids that I have spoke with over the years who have an interest in, you know, wanting to learn more about the paranormal. And, you know, whether it's, you know, their parents' own, you know, religious belief or personal beliefs or what have you, they immediately shut it down. Like, oh, that's stupid, blah, 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 blah. It's stupid until you get a message from your grandmother saying, hey, let your son, let your whoever, you know, do what they want to do if they have an interest in it, you know? But, you know, it's just, it's nice to see. And I do agree that he does have a deeper connection. He definitely holds a lot here too. Mm-hmm. I noticed this at the Paravation event. He does hold a lot here because he's not much of a talker. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, how he works with his intuitiveness and really how he does develop into what it is that he wants to do within this field if he chooses to.
Right. Yeah. He doesn't talk a lot around people, but he listens. We were talking to Jeremy, and Jeremy asked a question, and then Dylan answered it. We were hanging out at the motel, and I believe we were in Wisconsin. And Jeremy's like, how did you know that? And he said, because it's what you said at the Paracon in Las Vegas when you were speaking that day. And I'm like, and then Dylan just, I can say something and he'll be like, that's not what Jeremy said. And I was like, oh, okay. What did Jeremy say about this? And then he would tell, you know, he'll tell me, and I'm like, well, okay. All right. That's fine. Well, but he listens. He absorbs.
I think, he's been with us to several conferences across the country now, and we've exposed him to other people that do what we've been doing all these years. And I think he's looking at it with a different set of eyes right now.
Right.
Yes. And that's very important to do. You can't always look at your own, you know, investigation style, your own techniques on, you know, this is how I do it. It works. I don't want to do anything different from it. It's nice to take that step back, because it's funny, because he is similar, just like my mother. She does the same thing. She will always just take a step back and observe the room, see how people are doing their stuff, and always is just, she's like a sponge, and it's nice to do that and to remain open and optimistic on shaping your modality, if you use that with spiritual stuff. But also just keeping it open to new methods and techniques and, you know, just how you really work with your cases. It's just, it's super nice to see that, because honestly, and I will be very upfront with this, there are probably about 80 to 90% of the field. Everybody says that they are open and optimistic to wanting to learn and to shape their investigation style, but they don't, because they're caught up in their own stuff. And that's totally okay if that works for them, you know, by all means, that is totally okay. But you have to remain open, because there's when you put your blinders on like this and you're only looking through it through one set of goggles, you're missing so much. If you were to take that step back and see, oh my gosh, I'm going to look to the right, I'm going to look to the left. There's so much information and so many other things that I wasn't seeing. So let me pull my goggles down for a little bit and look at the you know, bigger picture. It's nice to see that. And I think he's doing a really cool thing of keeping that goggle down and figuring out what he's going to use to build his own set of goggles.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. And we look at paranormal investigating like it's our ministry. And in any ministry or any business, you've got different people that have different titles. And we're very open to him developing his own title, his own place in the ministry, his own place on the team. You know, I don't want to influence him to be more psychic or be more demonologist or be this or be that. You know, I'm not giving him a title. It's just, you bring to the table what you have, you know. Absolutely. And I think it's going to be unique and different. I think that, you know, with him using his abilities and then what he's learning about different areas of the paranormal, I think it's going to be amazing. And one day he's going to be leading Fox Paranormal when we retire.
Hey, you know what? Do we ever really retire?
No.
I don't think anybody is ever going to fully retire. Because, hey, you know, when we're on the other side, we're still going to help out other people and be like, this is what it's like. We are here. You know?
Yeah. We'll still be helping from beyond.
I have a question. What do you think, or why do you think, when somebody, say, you know, like when we're investigating and we actually, one individual, myself or one of the team members, actually see and experience an entity, but nobody else on the team experiences that, why do you think that one person was picked to see this?
So it can be a number of things. Of course, you know, if they are, you know, more in tune with spirit, they will more than likely have that experience of seeing them more so than the other person. Uh-huh. A lot of times, too, if they aren't necessarily intuitive, you know, it's just like the saying, everything happens for a reason. And whether it is a message specifically for you in this situation on whether you can help this case or something that's in your own personal life down the road, it can be a real number of things. Now, also too, if it is something that is not so nice, on a case, something that's more darker, you know, it can really mess with you. And so if you, let's say you're going through some personal stuff in your personal life that you are setting aside, a demonic energy or a very negative energy, will be easily able to pick up on, you know, if you're having a very tough time, if you are feeling emotionally weak, quote unquote. I'm not saying you're a weak person, but let's say you had a really rough day at work, but you have to go and help this person on this case. You're going to feel drained emotionally and mentally. And so what's going to happen is they will, you know, not prey on it, but they will be very aware of it and make you feel as though you are the target. And so that can also be a number, one of the other ways of how an individual may see it.
And you're exactly right about that. Michael and I went on an investigation. It was actually a man was possibly murdered, but they never found his body, but they passed it off as a drowning. But it was a possible murder. And we worked with this client at her home, and come to find out that her child's father was very abusive, very mean to her. And so Michael and I called ourselves actually in the street outside of the client's home, and we began arguing. We've never done that. And so I was wondering, well, possibly that energy, if he's coming forth, you know, it began to mess with us. And we did have a problem going on at that time. So I just wonder if it was the energy from the person who used to live there that was now deceased, actually throwing that energy out on us.
And it's very likely, you know, residual energy, it can really stick to, it's just like glue. If you put, you know, a stick of glue on a piece of paper and you stuck it to the wall and you walked away from that, that's going to stay there. Even if you were to take that piece of paper off, there's still going to be glue residue still on the wall. And until you clean that wall good and you remove all of it, that glue is still going to be sticky if you put your hand on it. So that energy can very well attach itself to one of, you know, anyone that walks in that space, whether they're an investigator or just a regular person walking through, it can attach it to them. And when, until you can take a step back and be like, oh my God, why are we arguing? We don't ever argue like this, especially on a case like this. We don't ever argue. So this isn't us. This is not us.
Yeah.
It's making it look like it is us, because that's what its deceitfulness will do.
Exactly. Exactly. So you work at a comic book store.
Yes, I do.
Let me tell you, I've been wanting to ask for a while, and I thought, well, you'll sound like an idiot if you ask him. Do y'all get in Walking Dead magazines?
So
comics.
Now, what's interesting? So I always joke around and tell everybody, you know, ha, it's a psychic medium working at a comic book store. That's a comic all on its own. Okay. But you know, with Walking Dead, a lot of people don't realize that Walking Dead started out as a comic book.
Mm-hmm.
And it started out, of course, oh my gosh, I don't even know what year it started. My gut is saying 2011, but I do not know. This was way before I was actually even involved in comics. Currently, right now, the series itself went for 193 issues. They ended it on issue 193. But when they printed the original comic, it was all in black and white. What they're doing now is they're pre-printing it. So it's basically the same story all the way back to number one up until 193. They're calling it Walking Dead Deluxe. And it's literally the same story, same interior, artwork, everything, just in color.
Right. I have some of them. I'd love those set. Yeah. I missed quite a few. But I've got some. I accidentally ordered an extra one. I already had one of, but yeah, I'm a Walking Dead fan. even down to comics.
So did you read all of the story so far, or just, or did you already read it and then, like, you're just trying to collect the single issues?
I haven't read all the stories in the comics, just on the ones that I have, the comic books that I bought.
Okay.
Which, you know, there's such a big difference in the storyline on TV and the comics.
It is just like a regular book, you know, a Stephen King movie. You know, we have Pet Sematary. I'm sure it was nowhere near what it was like in the book at all. Or even It, you know, the original movie. It was a 4-hour long movie, but it was, you know, it didn't capture a lot of what he wrote in there. So it's definitely different. But you always hear the saying, the book is better. 9 times out of 10, the book is better.
It was. I read the book before I saw the
movie. Most of Stephen King's books were better than the movies they made.
And Michael's a Stephen King fan.
I am a Stephen King nut. I love Stephen King's stories.
Now, I will tell you this. Did you know that his son also writes comic books?
No.
No, I did not know that.
There is a series that's on Netflix right now. It's called Lock and Key. If you have not watched it, it is good, but it does not capture really close to what is actually in the comic. But it is written by Joe Hill, which is Stephen King's son. And what's actually interesting is we know in all Stephen King's movies, he always made a cameo appearance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, Joe Hill makes a cameo appearance in the first season of Lock and Key. So, following in his father's footsteps a little bit, but, you know, if you ever get a chance, it is so good. The comic is so good. Different than the movie, much different than the TV show, but it is very good. So I always suggest, you know, that's one of my top books that I suggest to customers, because people think comic books, it's all the superheroes and, you know, Batman and Superman and Spider-Man and blah, blah, blah.
Oh, no.
I will tell you the actual good stories. Nothing wrong with those characters. Absolutely nothing wrong. But, you know, if you want a good, steady story, go to the Independents, the Walking Deads, the Lock and Keys, the different things like that. They are so, so, so good.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, can we expect to hear anything out of you on future podcasts? What you got planned? What have you got going on?
Oh my gosh, there is, honestly, I will be completely honest here. There is so much stuff going on, not even just with the paranormal side, but with work and, you know, figuring out what all is going on with, you know, events and such. We just had our Hershey Comic Con last weekend, and that was insane, insane. At least 1,300 people through the door in one day.
Whoa.
Yeah, it was a lot bigger than we anticipated. But so that was this past weekend. And as far as the paranormal stuff goes, I know right now I am still booking private readings. And I do have a couple of events lined up for now until November. I know the next one actually is August, I believe, 12th or 13th. I think it's the 13th. It is the West Virginia State Penitentiary Paracon. So Moundsville State Penitentiary in West Virginia. Mm-hmm. That's a one-day show. I will be there. And then in September, there is a charity event, There's Still Hope Paracon. It's actually up at the Wildwood Sanatorium up in New York. That's a charity event too. And then the following weekend is the Preserving History Through the Paranormal event that's happening at Selma Mansion. There's a possibility that I will be there. That's the next weekend. There's just a lot of stuff going on. But in addition to that, I actually have been, for many months now, I have been developing my own educational courses that I am going to be launching, hopefully in September. Hmm. So I have a course. It's actually a 6-week online course that I am offering, discussing, you know, it's an introduction to understanding your psychic gifts. So psychic is, of course, different than mediumship. But it's really diving deep into your clairs, the four main ones that we talked about tonight, but going a little deeper and understanding what it is, why is it this way, and how can we use it in our own, you know, daily lives. Even if we don't do readings for people, we don't do cases, just understanding our gifts to help ourselves be a better person. Mm-hmm. So that's what I'm excited for. Like I said, that's a 6-week course happening online, hopefully launching in September. Originally was supposed to be August, but now to September. But other than that, I mean, there are some other stuff in the works that I can't really talk about. But I'm just, there's a lot of cool things coming up for now until the end of the year.
Awesome. We can't wait. We can't wait. We also have something cool happening and we can't talk about it either. So I can't wait. I can't wait. Our first adventure, yeah, doing something very adventurous. It was cool. So we can't wait to be able to share that. And so I appreciate you so much being on our show tonight. It was awesome to have you as a guest.
Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, I mean, yes, we've got so many more questions we could ask.
I know.
So,
but with our work schedule,
I'll definitely have to come back and.
Absolutely, we have to keep our show right at an hour because Mikey has to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yes.
So we have a horrible life of being Michael. I appreciate you so much, and so, you know, keep us posted. Where can people go to find you? What are your pages?
So my page on Facebook is just Medium John Covey. You can also, you know, reach out to me on there. I'm also on Instagram, and this is so weird to say, I'm also on TikTok, all still just Medium John Covey. And or if you wanted to book your own private reading with me, you can reach out to me on my website at mediumjohncovey.weebly.com. And or if you have any questions at all, feel free. You can just reach out. Probably the easiest way is actually through email. But if not, you can always reach out through messages on Facebook too.
Awesome. Thanks so much for being our guest. We appreciate it so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. And this is Michael and Destiny Fox Paranormal. See you guys soon.